Praise the Lord. Sort of hate to get out of his presence, right? Good morning. It's so good to see you all in the house of the Lord this morning. Goodness. Must be a special day. Amen. Day of great blessing. Well, Father, you are looking down upon these people. You see exactly who's here this morning. And I'm asking you right now, Father God, to pour them out a blessing that they cannot contain. I'm asking that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be poured upon these people this day. They came, Father God, to sit at your table and to receive fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, I want you to do exactly that for them. Fill them to overflowing, Father, so that they can take the word back to their people and fill them to overflowing. And Father, we thank you for your angelic host who are here this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. God, this is your word, this is your church, and these are your people. We want you to speak the truth to us this day. And we want you, Father God, to lead, guide, and direct us in all of our footsteps. And we say all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I've noticed that more and more ministers are starting to say that the body of Christ is not really saved, and that the body of Christ is not really ready for what is coming down the road. And they are saying that God is telling them to go forth and to preach the truth in all of its fullness. Now, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's not a shortcoming. That should have been preached long ago, and we should have already be prepared for what is coming down the road. But it didn't happen that way, and so what we do is we just go from here. And we just do what God is telling us to do. And God's telling me to tell you it's going to take fortitude to make it through these trying days ahead. But as you trust in Him, He will be with you and He will lead, guide, and direct you in all the steps and ways that you should go. This is more or less an overview of what God has been telling us. And I titled this, Born for Battle. If you're in the body of Christ today, you have to be a warrior and you have to be ready for battle. Because the enemy is not playing games. He's out there for keeps. And when he comes after you, he comes after you with everything he has. And you're going to have to be strong. And you're going to have to be of one mind in one accord with God in order to make it through. Now, we know that we went through our Job experience. We know that we went through the communion experience. And now we know that God told us last service that we are now going through the Garden of Gethsemane experience. Now, in the garden is loneliness. God is drawing you to Himself. And He's separating you from your loved ones, everybody, because like Jesus, when he was in the garden, he had to go alone to the Father to get rid of his flesh so he could go do what he had to do. There's too many in the body of Christ still caring about their flesh, and you are not ready to do the things that God's calling you for to do. I know that life is hard. I know that just as well as you know that. It's not going to get any easier. It's only as you are totally saturated in Christ that you're going to be able to make it through these trying days ahead. And as you're saturated in Christ, the enemy's not going to be able to touch you. And you're going to go through all these trials and tribulations in perfect joy. You know, life happens. We say that all the time. Life happens. Life is not going to go away. And so why not just enjoy life? In Christ. Just enjoy yourself. Amen. I know that one day we'll be seated in heavenly places where there's going to be joy, joy, joy unspeakable. But right now we're here on earth. And right now God wants us to enjoy our stay on earth. He does not want us to have constant days of sorrow. All right, I said a line has been drawn in the sand. Remember when God told us that? The line has been drawn in the sand. An epic spiritual battle has begun. And those who know they have been born to battle have already been summoned to fight the good fight. Now, that's what God told me to tell you. All those who know they have been born to battle have already been summoned to fight the good fight. Haven't we all been summoned? God has been calling us warriors. He said we're in a battle. Now, God is working in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And it says, and when he had removed him, he raised up from them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who would do all my will. God said David would do all of God's will. Now, if you men are going to go around spouting, you're just like David, the mighty man of valor, then you have to do all of God's will, just not peace here and a peace there, but you have to do the whole picture. Now, armed with the grace of God, a violent and uncompromising new leadership has emerged, an army and family devoted to the Lord and truth, and their cry is Psalm 18:31, for who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? There's an acute awareness among them that the kingdom of God is near. If you're truly following God with all of your heart, if you're truly spending your time every day seeking God's face, God is showing you that his coming is nearer than the people think. All right? God is raising up a new leadership. He's raising up this younger generation. And this younger generation who have been in the pits of hell long enough have come forth and they're saying enough is enough. And they're out there preaching a really solid gospel. If you really listen to the young preachers, they're preaching a solid gospel. It's not a gospel of compromise. It's a word of fight. It's a word of fight. Are now with boldness and humility, they are standing firm and moving in step with the Spirit. Wisdom guards their focus, for they are mindful of their weaknesses. This is also speaking to everybody in this room. So with boldness and humility, you are standing firm and moving in step with the Spirit. With the Spirit of God. God said is now Spirit calling to Spirit, and we have to be listening to what the Spirit of God is saying and move with the Spirit. Wisdom guards your focus, for you are mindful of your weaknesses, agreeing with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, God's going to get all the glory. We get none. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So, you know, I don't care what. You're going to go through trials and tribulations, guys. Come on. You just are going to do that. So let's get that straight right now. So what did Paul say? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now, this army is called Power Lines. It is an irrepressible force for advancing the kingdom of light. This new generation that God is raising up right now is going to fight the enemy and win. And they are going to bring the light forth. And people are going to start understanding there is a God. There is a sovereign God of love and compassion through you people, you younger people that God is raising up. Right now, there are strategic and vital connections among the troops that are being put in place. It's not going to be just a one-man show anymore. This younger generation is going to gather together, and they're going to know that there is power in numbers. And they are going to fight like that you've never seen anybody fight before for the sake of Christ. All right? This is why you're going through so many trials and tribulations. This is why the enemy is pressing you on every side, because he's trying with everything, all the might in hell, to separate and divide. And we cannot allow him to separate and divide. All right? All right, these power lines are the result of sincere and heartfelt relational connections. Jesus is doing it. Jesus is doing it. Jesus is doing it. I'm not doing it. Alan's not doing it. Barbara's not doing it. Jesus is doing it. And when you get that down into your spirit, that it's not you, all you are is a vessel that he works through. And when you get it down in your spirit that Jesus is doing the works, you are going to be a victorious one. There's been too many people wanting all the glory, and they don't give anything to God. God is finished with that. All right, this army knows the difference between the yoke the world places on us to make things happen and how Jesus does it. God said, don't compromise your walk anymore. Quit compromising. Quit thinking about what people are saying about you, what they're telling you. You walk wherever God is telling you to walk, and do it with power and authority. From this day forth, saith the Lord. You've been weak-minded before, but today you're going to be strong-minded and strong-willed. You're going to be bold. You're going to be forceful. And you're going to bring the word forth, and you will conquer the darkness. All right, Matthew 11:29 says, Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, God never calls his soldiers to go out on his or her own. God always sends his angels with us. He's been telling us our angels go with us. Each one of us are a vital part of this army. We are moving forward to Leviticus 26, verse 7. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. See that?
Yes.
Verse 8 says, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. The enemy cannot oppress you unless you allow him to. The enemy cannot steal from you unless you allow him to. You have boldness and you have authority, and God said, now use it. Use it mightily against the enemy. The blessing of strong opposition. Opposition sharpens and defines us. Amen. Opposition sharpens and defines us. We need to understand that a powerful and unrelenting enemy does us much good. See, that does us much good. Facing such opposition keeps us on our knees, on our toes, and on the edge of our seats. Luke 12:35, Living Bible, puts it this way. Be prepared, all dressed and ready for service. All right? Developing the character of Jesus through tough spiritual warfare is integral to the calling of being born for battle. I'm sorry, guys, all the battles you've been through, God's been trying to toughen you up. He's been trying to make you the strong tower that others can run into. And you, I know you don't like your battles, but just think back what they've done for you. They have strengthened you. And God said he's broadened your horizons with the battles you've gone through. He said in the thick and thin of it, he's allowed you to see beyond your circumstances and into what he is doing in your life with those circumstances. Think we are going to make it. I think I missed a page. I don't have page 5. Hold on here, guys, just a minute. I thought, that's not right. Up here it is. All right, remember Joseph's ability to govern with wisdom in Egypt was learned through spiritual warfare. If you read about Joseph, his ability to govern were with wisdom. We need wisdom now more than we've ever needed wisdom before. If you don't have wisdom, you're going to fall. In the face of fierce opposition, so very close to home, the true character of Joseph's heart was called to be strong. You see this, when you're going through your battles, God is trying to strengthen your heart. He's trying to give you wisdom so that you can see what's really, well, I'm hearing him say wisdom beyond the battle. So you can see why you're going through the battle. All right. In summary of the tremendous conflict Joseph endured, he declared in Genesis 50:20, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people's lives." He just told us the last service, we go through what we go through so we can have a testimony to bring others into the kingdom. Y'all say, oh, I just really want to work for God, but you don't want to go through any testing or trials or tribulation. Because after all, that goes against a piece of flesh you're hanging on to, right? And, you know, God's going to keep putting you through that furnace of affliction until that piece of flesh is dead. And this is what the garden, we're in a garden experience right now. And this is what this is all about. Dying to flesh. How many times did Jesus have to pray before his flesh died? 3 times. He went to God and, you know, to ask him to take the cup. But finally he said, all right, I'll just go do what I got to do. But so, you know, so if you have to go to God 3 times to die to your flesh, that's fine. That's what Jesus did. If you weren't here last service, you ought to get that teaching. It was pretty good. All right, Paul also sought to encourage his Corinthian friends by openly, listen to this, by openly sharing the difficulties confronted on the battlefield of our calling. Paul also sought to encourage his Corinthian friends by openly sharing the difficulties confronted on the battlefield of our calling and the importance of prayer for each other, especially when the heat is on. God's been showing us that we need, this is our testimony, we need to let people know, hey, I hurt too. If you stick a pin in me, I'm going to say, ouch. If you take a knife and cut me, I'm going to bleed. Just because I teach you is no saying I'm any better than you. I am not. We are all human. And the reason why a lot of people don't get really saved and stay saved is because they think they can't get where their pastor's at. Hey, your pastor hurts too. I don't care what church you're in. Your pastor has their problems too. And I've heard a couple pastors admit that there are times that they're down too and they need the help of the people in the congregation to pray for them and lift them up. We're all human. We're all headed for the same goal, and that's to live a holy life. And as you try to live a holy life, the enemy's going to come at you in every area that he can come at you in, and you're going to have to fight. And sometimes you're on your knees, you think you're not going to get back up again, but you do. Why? Because you have a family that prays for you. You're the body of Christ. They pray for you. You don't know how many emails I get saying, I'm praying, God's told me to pray for you. You know, cause, and God did tell me one time, he said, your name is known all over the world. I have people praying for you. That's just not me. That's everybody that's following Christ. He has people all over the world praying for you. You're no different than me. We're all God's children. And nobody's greater than the next one. All right. 2 Corinthians 1:8-11. Paul says, we don't want you in the dark, friends, about how hard it was when all this came down on us in Asia province. It was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. See how Paul's being honest? Not a bad idea, since he's a God who raises the dead. And he did it, rescued us from certain doom, and he'll do it again, rescuing us as many times as we need rescuing. You and your prayers are part of the rescue operation. See this? I don't want you in the dark about that either. I can see your faces even now lifted in praise for God's deliverance of us, a rescue in which your prayers played such a crucial part. See how honest Paul was? Why don't you all be honest about what you're going through? Why are you walking around with a smile on your face, crying on the inside, making everybody believe that, you know, life is hunky-dory? Life is not always hunky-dory. And you know what? We don't need to feel guilty because we are having a bad day. Jesus had his bad days, didn't he? He was always going to the mountain. And we need to do like him, always go to the mountain, which is God, and confess to God what we're going through. All right? Faithfulness through thick and thin is a powerful and telling sign of the love of Christ that has been worked deeply in the hearts of the children of God. Faithfulness. When you're going through your difficult times, you're not ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to get stronger, and you're ready to fight the enemy even more so than you were before. Why does God make me go through this? I don't know, and I don't care. I just know one thing. When you get through that battle, you're stronger than what you was when you went into it. All right? Some are born to suffer. So if you're truly, 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 truly following God with all your heart, you're going to suffer. It's in your word. We've already taught that here. But it's in the word. And see, the problem is a lot of Christians think you should never suffer. If you're like me, when you're first born again, you thought you just was born into something great and wonderful and powerful, and everybody was going to love you and blah, blah, you know. And you found out just the opposite. The body of Christ is worse in the world. They bite and devour each other all the time. And when you get down off that little rainbow, then you get yourself settled. Hey, life is real in church. You know, then you can really get your feet anchored in Christ. And then you start living your walk with God, not somebody else's. You start getting into your word deeper and understand what the word of God is saying to you, not just taking what somebody else is saying. The word has to become real to you. I don't care. You can list all the preaching you want, but you yourself need to get into the word and let God reveal the truth of the word to you. Don't depend on somebody else to reveal God's truth to you. All right? So these overcomers triumph through Christ against the pride-filled notions of another God. Satan is all full of pride. Like Habakkuk, they have received the revelation, Habakkuk 2:4. Look at that man, bloated by self-importance, full of himself, but soul empty. But the person in right standing before God through loyal and steady believing is fully alive and really alive. You know, if you're all about yourself, then you're not right with God. This is nothing about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. You know, well, I want to be Bishop so-and-so. You go ahead and be Bishop so-and-so. But are you a child of God? I'm sorry, but God told me one time he doesn't like titles. Did you ever see how many bishops there are? There's more bishops than there are any Mr. and Mrs. And I said to God, why are all these people called bishops? He said, they're self-appointed bishops. I did not appoint them. You have to be careful what titles you stick in front of your name. If God's not sticking it there, don't let man stick it there. And don't you stick it there either. I lost my place. Retreating is not an option. Do you hear that? Retreating is not an option. Retreating as a result of focusing on our inadequacies or failures is not an option. You don't stop and think, who was it said, oh, Moses, I stutter. God knew he stuttered before he ever called him. That does not impress God when you try to use excuses of why you can't do what God's calling you to do. Well, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that. Just do it. Just do it. What's that man's name? He has no arms, no legs. He preaches all over the place. You know? He's not making any excuses. He's just doing it. Andrew. You know? When the first time I saw him, I said, God, that's the best example that I could ever see of somebody who's truly dedicated to you. just because he was born with no arms and no legs did not stop him from following God. And he really has an anointing and brings many, many souls into the kingdom. Here we are, we have all of our arms, all of our legs, and too much of everything, and we make excuses. Come on. Well, I'm too young, I have to experience life. You go and experience life, and God will pass you right on by. Come on. You haven't lived until you really sell yourself out to God. You really haven't. And as long as you keep that foot in the world, you're never going to live. God's wonderful. And if you live for God, you're really happy. I don't care where you're at. You're really happy on the inside because you have Jesus Christ down on the inside of you. And he's leading, guiding, and directing you. All right. Turning to the Lord is always and the only right thing to do. Faith is the absolute focus in the eyes of Abraham's offspring. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, you know, Abraham did this, believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, they were past childbearing age and God said, you're going to have a son. And saying here that Abraham just believed God and went on. Why can't you just believe God and go on? Come on. You know, well, God, you know, I just don't know. I can't speak in front of people. Well, I hope not, because if you're going out there, it's Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit speaking, not you. All right? So don't use that excuse to God. He puts the words in your mouth, I hope. He's the one that's leading, guiding, and directing everything you're doing. All right? And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, that's the trouble. You say, well, you know, I did this. God, I have to go away to Bible school. No, you don't. I don't know my word. I can't memorize my word. Read it. It'll be in your spirit. I'll pull it up when I need it. You know, just go. If God's called you, go. Just go and do it. Quit making excuses. Well, you know, the kids won't accept me. How do you know that unless you try? Well, you know, my family, they don't believe in you. Well, why don't you live the life before them and let them see what Christ is all about? Are you understanding this thing? I'm sorry, it's not a thing. Are you understanding this move that God's trying to get us to go into? Okay, in verse 22, it said, therefore it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Guys, what God did to Abraham, he wants to do to you. And if he's given you a promise, he will bring it to pass as long as you keep your faith going. Well, how many years was it? I forgot how many years it was before he ever had that child. 25 or something like that, you know. Who has the older wife? I got to tell that this way. Moses? No. His wife is 89 years older than he is. Who was that? Come on, somebody should remember that. Y'all forgot it. I only told it to a few. Do you remember it? Well, anyhow, some guy, I want you older ladies, okay? Some lady, she was 89 years older than her husband in the Bible, so, and I forgot how old they were at that time, but they had a good old life. So, you know, if you want to snag onto a younger guy, it's in the Bible, it's okay. All right. I forgot who that was. I'll have to. Huh? Isn't that a neat thing to know, though, ladies? if God lets it happen to the Bible, it can happen nowadays, right? Look at that old fool out there hanging on to that younger guy. You know? Okay, so why can't, and I'm getting off track. Why can't a woman do that? A man does that. That old coach or whatever they come out there with that young little snip hanging on his arm. He, who's he think he is? Isn't that what they say? Come on. Okay, back to what we were talking about. In this great spiritual conflict, God's power is seen in the grace we are given to rise above the darkness and troubles of the hour. Read that again. In this great spiritual conflict, God's power is seen in the grace we are given to rise above the darkness and troubles of the hour. This includes both inward and outward turmoil and troubles. Just like those that Job faced in Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One problem with the body of Christ is we are not gathering together and encouraging one another. Right? And there's too much jealousy and envy and strife going on. And after all, I want to be bigger than you are. You know, that is not God. I don't care how small you are. I don't care how big you are. If God is building the house, then that's what he wants it built. And we should be coming together, encouraging one another. If you know somebody's getting ready to start a house ministry, encourage them in the Lord. You know, if God really wants that ministry, encourage them, help them, guide them through that starting up of that ministry. But you know what's happened in the body of Christ is ministers don't want anybody else ministering because they want all the people. That isn't how God works. You know, if God calls you to start a ministry, then he knows the people he's going to send to you. And don't let somebody else stop you from starting a ministry. I don't care if it's only two of you starting it. If God said start a house ministry, then start. Show God that you have faith and you trust and you believe him. And let God do the increase. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Our Christ-like courage is most evident in the face of great difficulty and adversity. Our Christ-like courage is most evident in the face of great difficulty and adversity. You know, guys, come on. You know, church is not church as usual. People are dressing different. People are acting different. Songs are different. Everything's different. If you think about where we've gone into a new dispensation, a new era of time, you know, these younger kids are the ones that's going to be coming up, is God's bringing up to take leadership. And God's gone with the flow of the younger people. That he just was what he's doing. And he told the older ones, he said, you are needed too, so you can help instruct these younger ones and keep them on the right path. So quit being upset if you see some young whippersnapper starting a house church or a street ministry or whatever. Encourage them in the Lord. Encourage them. And this is what God wants the body of Christ to do, is keep uplifting and encouraging. All right, we all know that the landscape of the church has completely changed, right? A very different outlook from what we have known has emerged. Many are resisting the reshaping of the church as God sees best for him. Now, you know, I had people years ago quit this church because, you know, God just started me having different songs. We started singing different songs and doing different things. And I had people come to me and say, you are, is it millennials? Is that what you're called, millennials? You're gearing up for the millennials. I said, no, I'm not. I didn't realize it, but that is what God was doing, but I didn't realize it. And they said, since you're doing that, we don't want to be here. You know, and they left the church, didn't they? You know, hey, come on. You're the one who brought up had the millennials being born. So, you know, why is it so bad for them to be used? You know? You'd be surprised what people come to tell you before they leave a church. Andrew, when are you going to start? Come on, boy. He's my little protege. I love him. When I looked up and saw you swing, I got all happy inside. He makes me happy. He really does. God has his hand upon him. And you watch him. His name is Andrew. What? What's his last name? Who? Smith? Oh, that's a plain name. So you watch Andrew Smith. His name is going to be spread abroad. You wait and see. Great, great evangelist for God. Jeremiah 18, verse 1 says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." A nation is a person. God keeps putting you on the potter's wheel, smacking you down and reshaping you until you finally give in, die out to your flesh, and say, all right, God, I don't care what you make me look like, just use me. Let's get this thing over with, right? How many of you know you've been on the potter's wheel more times than you care to be, right? All right, in the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. See that? When God gives you word, you have to change and line up with the word. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will, everyone, obey the dictates of his evil heart. Isn't that what's going on today? People are not following God. They are going after their own heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask now among the Gentiles who has heard such things. The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Now, this is just an overview of everything God's been teaching us. But God said, you guys, today, you have to get your heads out of the sand. You have to stand tall and erect and go forth and do the things that God's calling you forth to do. He's already built you up. He said you have not been laboring in vain. And this is the hour that he's bringing his people forth to do the great and mighty works that he's promised you that he's going to do through you. All right. All right. Let's look at the Living Bible, Acts 5:34. But one of their members, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, an expert on religious law and very popular with the people, stood up and requested that the apostles be sent outside the council chamber while he talked. They had the disciples in there doing them wrong. Then he addressed his colleagues as follows, "Men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men." All right. Some time ago, there was that fellow Thaddeus, who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed and his followers were harmlessly dispersed. After him, at the time of the taxation, there was Judas of Galilee. He drew away some people as disciples, but he also died and his fellow followers scattered. And so my advice is, leave these men alone. If what they teach and do is merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop them, lest you find yourselves fighting even against God. So don't worry about what somebody else is doing. If it's of God, it'll prosper. If it isn't of God, it'll fall. All right? And, you know, God told me many times, These doors will never shut. The only person that can shut these doors is me, you know, me. He said, but I have opened them and I will never shut them. And this is how we operate. God is not going to shut these doors, and we aren't going to shut them either, because there's too many people come through these doors that need to hear the word of the Lord. All right? So I'm talking about your ministry now. Don't worry about your ministry. If God is called, I don't care. We've fallen down to two or four people, and we still kept preaching, and we're still here today, but 40-some years later. We're still here. We're still doing God's work. When I was out on the field evangelizing, I was going all the time. And then God brought me in off the field. This is how God works. And I said, God, why did you bring me in off the field? He said, because you were getting ready to be destroyed out there. You don't have enough wisdom to stay out there and to fight the enemy through the ministers in the churches. He said, I'm going to pull you in. And he said, I'm going to make you strong. And I'm going to make you bold. And then I'm going to send you back out. So you see what happens? God will not let you be destroyed is what I'm getting at here. He will protect you at all cost. So you don't have to worry about anything. If God has called you, just be. You know, God's always saying, just be. All right, the maturity of a soldier's character. Those who are born for battle and have an understanding of the times must focus their attention primarily on the Lord himself, not their opposition, inwardly or outwardly. See that, guys? Do not place your eyes on what's going on around about you. Place your eyes on God. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You have to endure hardship. Hardship might come from another pastor. Hardship might come from somebody in your flock. Hardship might come from your husband, your wife, a friend. You have to endure that. And what he's saying there is, don't quit just because somebody comes against you. Keep on going. Keep on going. You know what God has called you forth to do. Keep on going. Rick Joyner said, our first goal must be to confront and overcome our personal demons and our personal fears. Why? So that we can grow in the authority to take on bigger demons and set other people free. If you're all bound up, you sure can't go and minister to anybody else. You have to get your own demons taken care of, and then you can go forth and minister. We win this war. Is that where I'm at? We win this war as we grow in faith. True faith is a result of a living relationship with the God who loves us, has called us, and will empower us to do all that he created us to do. Read that again. We win this war as we grow in faith. True faith is a result of a living relationship with the God who loves us, has called us, and will empower us to do all that he created us to do. The real changes at hand are related to the condition and health of the human heart. Maturity is deeply connected to the wisdom in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I'm going to tell you guys something. In these 40-some years I've been ministering, there's many, many times that I've had to go to the Father and just cry. I just really wanted to sit down and quit. But he wouldn't let me do that. So I knew that I had to encourage myself in the Lord. I knew that I had to get a hold of my bootstraps and pull myself up. Some people just will not understand what you're going through. The majority of people won't understand what you're going through. Because they look at you and they want to say negative, negative, negative. And whenever you're down, they say, I knew it. They're just like God told me, many are just waiting for you to fall. I'm not going to fall. So, you know, you might be gray-haired and in the grave, but I'm not going to fall. See, that's the attitude. I'm not going to fall, devil. I know what God has called me to do, and I'm going forward. I'm not going to fall. He's going to come at you with everything he has. He really is. He really is. So where am I at? Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Finishing well. These are both exciting and sobering times. To have been born for battle at such a time as this is ranked among the highest of honors. We are so blessed. I don't know about you, but I'm excited what's going on right now. It's not going to be humdrum anymore. You're not going to see these young kids just sitting here saying, oh, God, how much longer do I have to sit here? They're going to be so on fire for God that they're just going to, you know, you won't be able to stop them. They're just going to be so on fire for God. And there's going to be so much activity going on in church services that, you know, nobody will have a chance to get bored because everybody's going to be busy. God, the Holy Spirit's going to be using you to minister to the people that come in through your doors. God's in a great avenue of souls is opened already, and he's going to start bringing the souls into the house of the Lord, and he's going to need each one of you to minister to those people. Amen. And you know, you're going to be prophesying to the people too. So keep your mind pure and your thoughts pure, because you don't want a mixture when God starts using you to prophesy to people. You want everything that comes out of your lips to be pure and holy, straight from the Holy Spirit. All right? Some of you that has been in the school of hard knocks, God said you were there for a reason. I was toughening your skin, and I was getting you ready for this end time harvest. And he said, you have to also know that the enemy is just not going to just lie down and play dead. He's going to fight you tooth and nail at this given time. But because you've endured the hard times that you had to go through, the enemy's not going to be able to knock you off course. You're going to stand face to face, and you're going to tell him to leave. All right? All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. I'm trying to hurry up with this. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. Why? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See that? And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. See that? Do not lose heart. Paul says, don't lose heart because of what I'm going through, because what I'm going through is for your glory. For those born for battle who fight the good fight and finish well will see the glory of God revealed, the holiness of his name restored, and the manifold wisdom of his ways exalted. We will have his fire and passion dwelling in our hearts, flowing forth as words of life. We will know Malachi 1:11, for from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. You who are just starting churches, you're new to what God is doing, just follow God. Don't make your own rules. Get in the presence of the Holy Spirit, pray. Seek his face. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to what he has to say. I had two messages. I had this one, and then I had one dictated by the Father. He said to me, I think he said, what do you want to know? But I prayed, this is the one God wanted to give today, because God's getting ready to, here's what he's saying. He said, each one here today, I've placed you in the middle of the stream of life, and you're going to take living waters to a lost and thirsty generation. Even in the church that has been manipulated by pastors and leaders all these many years, there are those who are thirsty and dying. And I need to send you people to these people who are lost still, even though they sat in a house of the Lord. You are going to be talking to dignitaries. This is what God is saying. You're going to be talking to dignitaries. You're going to be talking to lost loved ones. You're going to be talking to your friends in school. You're even going to be stopping in the marketplace and just talking to, just say, you know, God, the Holy Spirit will just move upon you, and you'll just start talking to the people in the marketplaces, and you're going to lead many, many souls to Christ. This is God saying, this is your invitation this morning to come into the deep waters, the deep living waters, and thirst no more, so he can send you forth, because this is the hour right now when you're going to start seeing great salvations. And God's saying, where the ground was hard, it could not be plowed up, the ground is now ready to be plowed, and the seeds planted, and the souls won. So if there's anybody in here this morning that truly wants to step into what God is doing this morning, he just gave you a refresher course of everything he's been teaching us for quite some time now. If you want to step into this newness of life that he has for you, the altar's open. When you come up here, expect God to place within you a new foundation that you can take with you wherever you go. The altar's open.